The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Welcome, nonprofit community. Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to first thank the Spirit of Giving Network for sponsoring this wonderful show so that we can really, really learn about what's going on in the community nonprofit-wise and perhaps tweak your interest in one of these wonderful nonprofits to volunteer or donate. They always need donations. And I want to let you know that we are here with a very special group of gentlemen, Ken Brighton, who's the Director of Community Relations, and Larry Rhine, the CEO and President and number two employee.
Very big time.
Big time. We are here big time. Oh, my gosh. Just thank you so much for taking your time out. I know you're so busy with the work of ChildNet, and I want to thank you for coming and sharing the information. So, Ken, Larry, take it away. Tell us about ChildNet.
Okay. Thanks for having us, first
of
all.
I think you know a little bit since you've been around for how many years there.
ChildNet, which was created in 2002, is technically called the lead agency for community-based care. What we really do is we operate the foster care system in Broward County and for the last nearly 6 years also in Palm Beach County. So we are a community-based care lead agency. There's 17 of us around the state, and essentially we get money from the Florida legislature to operate the local foster care system.
I couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah, very succinct.
Yeah. What do you think, Ken?
I think you did a fantastic job. And I think when you're thinking about ChildNet, it's the best way to picture it is we are kind of the umbrella organization. We work with a number of different community partners. We're the community-based care lead agency, community being the operative word. We pair, we partner, we work alongside 30, 40, 50, depending on the year, different organizations to really bring these services that children in Broward and Palm Beach County need.
You can't underestimate the word community. Originally, when they first called it the Florida Legislature, when they created the legislation in 1995, they called it community-based care, and it sounded like a really slick political euphemism that some marketing guru came up with. But in fact, what it does is all of the 17 different communities, either circuits or regions in the Department of Children and Families, they all have different needs, different resources, different communities. So even though ChildNet oversees foster care in Broward and in Palm Beach, Broward is very different than Palm Beach. The community is different, the population is different, and the resources and the service and all the not-for-profits are different, and the systems are different. Palm Beach school system is different than the Broward County school system. And so this gives us all the opportunity to adjust and tailor what we do to the community we're in. It ends up being a great idea, and it's been up and running technically really since 1995. Legislation in 1998 made it go mandated that it go statewide. And so then gradually over the state, and by 2005, every community had a community-based care lead agency. In Broward, we started in 2003. In Palm Beach, our predecessors started in 2004. And it's been a tremendous success. Foster care today is light years better than it was 20 years ago. But we've got some gigantic challenges still. We're actually at a point right now that I would say we're on the verge of a crisis. In Palm Beach County, during the last 4 months, we've had over 100% increase in the number of children being removed from their homes and entering foster care because of abuse, abandonment, and neglect. And that puts incredible strains on the system. And actually, one of the major reasons we're here is to alert the community to this emergency, to this crisis, and sort of reach out for help. And as important as money is, more important is wonderful people to serve as foster and adoptive parents.
Yeah, I mean, and that Larry hit the nail on the head. That's when we are out speaking, when we are doing anything in the community, that's our major priority, because these foster parents are vital to the immediate well-being of these children and the long-term well-being of these children. And as more kids continue to come in, we have to match that with more foster parents coming in. And unfortunately, the number of kids coming into foster care is outpacing the number of new foster parents that we're bringing on to a large degree. And as Larry said, that is the beginning of a crisis. And if we allow it to continue, it will become a larger crisis and a larger crisis. So we have to be proactive, not we as in ChildNet. We are being very proactive, but we as a community need to be proactive, because this is our collective crisis. We all need to collectively come together to find these foster parents, to support these foster parents, to make sure every single child has a home that they can come home to for as long as they need to come home to that home.
What does it take to become a... Is it cumbersome to become a foster parent? What would you say if you were talking out there? Because obviously it sounds like we need them.
It's become much easier. We do everything we can to streamline it, but you don't want to make it too easy. You want to be sure that the people that are fostering are doing it for the right reasons. There's probably a perception, which is way old, of something about people doing it for money or something like that. Absolutely not. Today, the people that foster today are truly you, your neighbors, your family, your friends, your colleagues, the coach of your kid's Little League team. The people that foster today are doing it not for money, not ever for money, but they're doing it because they feel some sense of obligation either to a higher power or to their community. And it's unbelievable what they do. They take into their homes children have been sufficiently abused, abandoned, or neglected that the court has decided that they need to be removed from their parents' care, at least temporarily. And then these people take these children into their home, and they don't just treat them as their own. They treat them even better. They go overboard to be sure that these children are safe and well taken care of and get all their medical and behavioral health needs met, because it's not a surprise that maybe that hasn't happened for them prior to their entering foster care. They make sure that they get to school and they get the attention that they need at school. So these people do it. And they, again, they are you and I, and they're just people with tremendous, tremendous heart and capacity to love and take care of.
And let's be clear, foster parents can look many different ways. It doesn't have to be your traditional family. It can be a single mother, a single father, a same-sex couple. As long as they have, you know, room in their home, love in their heart, and meet the minimum requirements, they can look any way. And we have foster parents who look every way, and they're all effective and loving and making a huge impact on these children that's going to remain for the rest of their life. Long after these children leave their home, the impact a foster parent makes remains.
And again, there is a process. Everybody has to go before they're a foster parent. We have to do a home study, and we have to do background checks to be sure they've got no serious criminal history or any history of their own abuse record. They have to have sufficient income that we can be sure that they're not going to be using any of the monies that we pay for the child's care for themselves. But they can rent, or they can own their own home. They can be married, or they can be single. They go through the process. Then they get a thorough training in the system of foster care and how to care for children and how to care for these children with their unique needs, who come, you know, from a background that probably creates a lot of challenges for the kids. But again, the kids come into care not for anything they've done. They come into foster care because of things that adults have done. And right now, to be honest with you, and I think a large part of the reason for this explosion in the number of kids being removed is substance abuse and the opioid crisis that we hear about every day. historically, the number one reason for moving children from their homes and entering foster care in Broward and Palm Beach has always been the adult substance abuse of their parents. Typically, it was always about 25% of the children were removed because of substance abuse of their parents. Today, it is more like 50% of the children that get removed. The primary reason for their being removed is their parents' substance abuse. So we have the need for foster parents, and we also have the need for more and more resources to effectively fight and treat their parents' substance abuse.
You're a young guy. What got you involved or started, and what is your background to get involved in ChildNet? You could probably have done a million different things.
Sure.
And here you are next to number two here.
Yeah.
our wonderful CEO and president. What I'm just thinking, you know, in terms of today's generation, you know, that feeling of giving back.
Right.
And that's the job that you do. What got you here?
I was involved in politics. That's what I went to school for. And I had some political jobs prior to this. And being involved just in the local political process and in the state political process, you kind of begin to see where the needs are and, more importantly, where the gaps are. And obviously, as we've been talking about, there's a huge need in child welfare here in Broward and Palm Beach County especially. But equally important, there's a huge gap there. And I saw that gap, and ChildNet has a stellar reputation, and there was a fantastic opportunity for me there. And so I capitalized on it, and it has been everything I thought it would be in terms of the impact that the organization is able to have, in terms of the need that we're able to try to fulfill, because the need is so great. It's not a need that any single organization can fulfill, but this agency does the absolute best job it possibly can. And in doing that, ensures that the other agencies that we work with do the absolute best possible job that they can. So now what we have is a community who is working very efficiently, very effectively to serve some children who need efficient and effective work. And now we just continue to expand our network, expand our umbrella to bring in new volunteers, new stakeholders, new providers, new community partners to continue to try to meet this unfortunately ever-growing need. But long answer to your short question is I saw the... Yeah, that's what you want for radio. You want long answers.
I'm spellbound here. You got me speechless for a change. It doesn't happen all that often. Ask my husband. I've so wanted you to be here because of the fact that you are the umbrella. You are the main cog that supports all of the nonprofits that are working with these kids. And what a major job this is.
It is.
And just if we haven't made it clear, in Broward, for instance, there's over 35 to 40 nonprofit organizations that we use, that we subcontract with to provide the services, the actual services to the children and their families. There's 14 different agencies in Broward that recruit, train, and support foster parents. So ChildNet does some of the administrative work and helps place the children as they come in, as they're removed. But it's these agencies like Kids in Distress, Place of Hope, Four Kids of South Florida, Camelot Community Care, that actually train the foster parents, get them licensed, and then support them. You know, I didn't get a chance, but the foster parents aren't out there by themselves in any way, shape, or form. They have support from ChildNet, and then they have support from these other nonprofit agencies that they work with. They also do get a stipend, depending on the child's age and the child's needs, to be sure that we adequately care for the child in terms of room and board. All the children have medical insurance, typically through Medicaid, but a very good Medicaid plan created specifically for foster care children. So there's an awful lot of support for these foster parents. They don't have to go it alone.
And there's a significant amount of support from other foster parents in the community. When I got into this, I was naive to how many foster parents there were. And there are so many, not enough, obviously, but there are so many, and they network together, they support each other, they interact a great deal. So it's a great environment to be part of.
Thank you so much. When we get back, I want to hear more about becoming a foster parent. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Hearing loss is a growing health issue among young adults and older Americans, with the condition today affecting more than 48 million people nationwide. Now is the time to preserve your hearing. That means limiting exposure to loud noises, using ear protection when attending sports events or music concerts, and following the 60-60 rule, which means limiting the use of earbud headphones to 60 minutes at a time and at 60% of the device's maximum volume. Talk to a hearing healthcare provider or your physician and schedule a hearing test. It's also important to discuss hearing loss with your family and seek treatment. Common signs include turning up the volume on the TV or radio to the level that others find too loud, having trouble hearing people on the phone, or difficulty with following conversations in noisy environments. Hearing loss can affect your ability to stay connected to friends and family, contributing to social isolation, lower earnings, depression, dementia, and higher risk of falls. For more information about hearing loss and other ways to improve your health as you age, go to www.hearingloss.org. This has been a public service message from the Hearing Loss Association of America, High Health Innovations, and the station.
Hey, welcome back, nonprofit community. This is Kara Zimmerman, and I'm excited to have both Ken and Larry here from ChildNet. Larry Ryan is the CEO and president, and Ken Brighton is the director of community relations. Thank you both again for being here with me and sharing this great need. We really didn't realize how many foster parents we need, what the numbers have been escalating, almost crisis level. If someone's listening now, walk us through, who do we call? What's the first step to become a foster parent?
Well, they can either call any of those agencies that we talked about, Kids in Distress, 4Kids, Place of Hope, Camelot, or we try to make it easier for them. There's a single hotline number at ChildNet that they can call, either in Palm Beach or in Broward. In Broward, the number is 954-414-6001, 6001, and somebody will get back to them. If we're not available immediately, somebody will get back to them within 24 hours. In Palm Beach, the number is 561-352-2501. Then we can also always take inquiries through our website, which is www.childnet.us. And actually, we probably get just as many inquiries, if not more, through the website now, and that's maybe even a better way. And then once we make contact with you, we will have somebody do a preliminary survey or screening so that we can determine which of those nonprofit organizations would be best for you, depending on where you live, depending on when you can attend classes, depending on when the next training is. All sorts of things we'll take into account. So it is an easy process. And then once we get you involved with an agency, they will begin the training, they will do the home study, they will do the background screening, and they will get you licensed and then support you going forward. The process is not that arduous. We, again, have to be careful and be sure we're getting the right people doing it for the right reasons. But again, it's an amazing thing. I can't stress it enough. If you were to see who these foster parents are. We had a luncheon the other day, our annual luncheon in Broward, and we had it about a month earlier in Palm Beach. And we do a thing where we say, any foster parents in the crowd? And invariably, 10, 15, 20, 25 people who are there and are members of the community, attorneys, school teachers, doctors, nurses, will stand up and we'll recognize them for the great, great thing that they've done. They are, in fact, you and me, our friends, our colleagues. We just need more of you. And we need people to be aware. You might not be ready to be a foster parent today or tomorrow. I get that. We all get that. But please, if you're hearing us talking about this crisis, it is a crisis, and anything you can do to spread the word, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends. Say, did you know this is going on in our community? And it's everywhere. In Broward and Palm Beach County. Substance abuse, clearly, and the opioid crisis knows no limits about socioeconomic status or ethnicity or culture. It's hitting everybody, and the children entering foster care are coming from everywhere throughout both counties.
In terms of the foster parent, can you request, let's say you want to, you'd rather have a girl or a boy or a teenager or a baby. I'm sure some of that comes to play.
Yes, you can. You obviously can. We don't want to. If people are good enough to take care of children who have entered foster care, we're just really thrilled to have them. And we can understand if they'd rather have a boy and not a girl. That leads to one issue, and I'm glad you brought it up. Our primary challenge in both counties, interestingly enough, is at one end of the spectrum, teenagers, especially in Palm Beach. We've had a real challenge these last 5 years getting enough foster parents to serve teenagers. But the other end of the spectrum has become something of a challenge, too, with this gigantic increase of kids being removed because of substance abuse. We're having a lot of babies left in the neonatal intensive care units because their mothers, while pregnant, were using substances, so substance-exposed newborns, and we need homes to take care of these little ones. We, for the first time in Palm Beach County in a while, don't have foster homes for children birth to five. So, unfortunately, they have to go into a shelter. Now, they're great shelters run by great companies, but they still don't have a parent around the clock. And so we're looking especially for those that can take children at birth up to age five and then teenagers. And we know from talking to you that you've gone through raising a teenager, and it's no different in foster care. Do some of these kids have more challenges than your kid might have? Yeah, but not more than your neighbors. We just need people to take care and help these kids. And think about it. Think about a teenager in foster care, and they go from foster care and they exit foster care, and now they don't have someone when they get married. They don't have necessarily someone to walk them down the aisle. They don't have someone to support them through that difficult transition from teenage years to adulthood, or to help and support them through college. Their tuition is paid for at college by the state of Florida by virtue of being in foster care, but they don't have that support that you and I have given to our children as they've grown into productive adults. So we'd really love it if people would think about fostering a teen.
Yeah, I can imagine you might get a little attached to that child, and then the ultimate goal obviously is to get them back with their parents. Do you have a percentage of how many go back, or do they pretty much stay?
Well, it's sort of a mix. And again, in the state of Florida, and I think in the country, the first goal is hopefully to reunify them with their parents. Children belong with their families, and no matter how egregious the abuse, you always hear from kids that they still would like to go to their parents. And then they get older and then they realize. But even after they leave foster care, so many of them search out their parents. But so we try very hard to reunify children with their parents. Again, I referred earlier to substance abuse treatment. If we can get good, effective treatment for their parents and we can get them stable and in recovery, then we can make a decision and the court can make a decision that it's safe for the child to be back with their parent. And then we monitor after they get reunified for at least 6 months to be sure that everything is stable and good. So that's the first goal. Sometimes that's not going to happen. And then we begin searching for adoptive parents. Again, we've done a great job in South Florida and in the state of Florida of developing adoptive homes for children. This year in Broward, we had a goal of 300 adoptions, and we just met that goal. That's for our fiscal year, which ends this week. Palm Beach, the goal was about 175, and we reached that. So there's a large number of those children being adopted. A lot of the adoptions, foster parents do end up adopting. Mm. But that's another reason that we need more foster parents, because we lose capacity when a foster parent does end up adopting. then oftentimes that's a home we lose from our foster home inventory. And again, I don't want to mislead people. The first goal, we want people to foster and recognize that it's going to be temporary. But there are times when we will have to permanently remove the child, and then adoption does become an option.
And thank you. That's such a great explanation. What about challenges and funding? I know that's always an issue in nonprofits, but how's it looking?
It's tricky. I hate to talk about money. When we're talking about abused children.
Exactly.
But frankly, it's been a challenge previously. Last few years throughout the state of Florida, there had been a large increase in the number of kids being removed starting a couple of years ago. It slowed down. But the way the system operates is we get X amount of dollars no matter how many children we get. So now that things had slowed down last year in terms of removals, our finances became fairly stable. But now with this explosion, and just to make it clear, typically in Palm Beach in a month there'll be 50 children removed. Now we're having 100 children removed every month. And we don't get any more money for that. So the prospect is for a dramatic need for more resources. Legislature's been great, absolutely great, helping us out throughout the state of Florida. But again, we're going to be faced with another crisis likely.
Well, listen, I feel that we are in great hands. I cannot thank both of you enough for really hitting the streets. I know that you're out there, you're working so hard on this issue, and I can't thank you enough for what you do for what you love the word community, right? That's
yep,
what we're all
absolutely.
About.
Yep.
So thank you, and all the best to both of you, and I know this is going to get better. I see it's in good hands, and ChildNet.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for giving us this outlet to kind of tell our story and hopefully get more people involved.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.